Welcome to your weekly radio broadcast, Seed of Life, a time for the preaching and teaching of the wholesome Word of God that by the grace of Jesus Christ will produce the desired result of righteousness in you unto the coming of the Lord. As you're listening today, may you find grace to work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, please welcome your regular host, Pastor Ido Ogedengbe. God bless you.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, open with me to the book of Genesis chapter 13. We read from verse 1 to verse 9. And we read also from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hallelujah. From verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read from verse number 15. Let's start from 15. We read all through to verse 18. Are we here together? Oh, amen. Okay, let's read in fellowship at the count of two. I'm going to be using the New King James Version, so you can be reading on the screen or you read from your Bible. If your Bible is not exactly like the same version with mine, don't worry. Just flow along. Just flow along. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Praise the Lord. Are we ready? Genesis chapter 13, we read from verse 1 to verse number 9. At the count of 2, 1, 2, go. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Note that, Lot with him to the south. Verse 2, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Note that the Bible did not say God blessed Lot. The Bible records that, and God blessed Abraham. Hallelujah. God blessed Abraham so much that the blessing in the life of Abraham was flowing to the life of Lot. God had a covenant with Abraham, but Lot was a beneficiary of that covenant. Am I communicating? Lot also, by reason of his proximity, his being together with Abraham, he also began to enjoy the largesse and the goodness of God upon the life of Abraham. Verse 6. Now, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please, separate from me. You take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Abraham was a man of peace. At some point, you have to let some people move on. You don't have to dwell together forever. Sometimes the purposes of God for relationship would have been fulfilled. And the next thing to do is to accept the fact that people have to be separated from you. Sometimes it's not easy, but it must happen. Some have to be separated from you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, Abraham really, really loved Lot. He was like his cousin. You know the way it is when people have grown up with you and they have become like part of your family. Oh, the affection is there. The feeling of attachment. How will I allow this guy to leave? He's so connected with me. He's so attached to me. I must carry him everywhere I go. And when God was calling Abram out of his father's house, he did not call Lot with him. Somewhere in the scripture, the Bible says he called Abram alone. Called Abram alone. But Abram took Lot with him. And instead of Lot recognizing that I am just a beneficiary of the grace that is on Abraham, I am just a benefactor of the goodness of God, the covenant that God made with Abraham. Lot got great. He became enlarged. He had wealth and riches. And at a point, he allowed people to start causing strife between him and his benefactor. And his brother. Somebody who he was meant to be in fellowship with and meant to be grateful to God for. Hold in high esteem and respect that God has blessed me because of you. Even Potiphar could recognize that the blessing he had, even though he was the master of Joseph, he recognized that it was because of Joseph that the blessing was coming to him. Covenant people are not people you joke with. Covenant people are not people you mess up with. Covenant people are people you should reverence. You should acknowledge the grace and the blessing. I'm not trying to preach human deification here. I'm not trying to position people as though they are God here. But I'm sharing with you some understanding that you need to know. Don't allow anybody to move you, to cause you to fight a man or a woman that God has favored your life and blessed you through. Am I making sense? Because sometimes we become very, me too, me too, I'm married now. Me too, I have my own children now. Me too, I have this now. So what does he have that I don't have? What can he say that I can't say? And you begin to now allow people to say, you can talk to him anyhow. You can abuse him. Don't you know you too, you are blessed? You are blessed now. You just walk out on him. Just call his bluff. And some of us, we allow that to enter into our head. And we begin to misbehave. Lot was misbehaving against Abraham, and Abraham was a man of peace. Don't allow your herdsmen to cause a strife between us. We are brothers. Now you are big. Now you are great. You can survive. You can do well on your own. Pick one place, and we pick another. And instead of Lot recognizing that Baba, this is the person that I owe it to by the grace of God. This is the man that brought me from nowhere. Pour the blessing and the grace that he has received from God upon my life. Even if Abraham had asked him to pick a place, common sense should have instructed him. Wisdom should have guided him. To say, Baba, no sir. Pick one place first. Anything that is left, I will take. You know the way it is. You call a small boy. That is meant to, you just want to test him and say, okay, you make your choice and make your decision. And you'll be making a decision as though you don't exist, as though you are in an entity. Lord should have humbly asked Abraham, where do you want to choose, sir? After you have made your own choice, what is left? With your blessing upon it, I know I will do well there. Do you know if Lord had honored Abraham? With that, honored him to say, sir, pick first. He would have survived the temptation to go to Sodom. He wouldn't have chosen Sodom because Abraham was a man that had an altar. We didn't see Lot go to any altar. Abraham had an altar. Even if he's about to make a mistake, once he consults the altar, something will speak from heaven because he has an altar. But Lot despised that. Oshia yagbangba. You know what Yoruba will say? One Oshia yagbangba. He is so he thinks he's courageous. Arrogance. Iyajusi. You know what they call Iyajusi? Oshia Iyajusi. A person that you are supposed to see as this is my person that I need to humble myself before. It's my benefactor. Somebody who I owe a lot to. and he picked Sodom. What happened to him in Sodom? He lost everything. He came out with the skin of his teeth. Or by the skin of his teeth. How do they say it? He came out narrowly. He would have lost his, even his life. He lost his wife, lost virtually everything. Let's read the second scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, I read to verse 18. Listen as I read by the grace of God. That good thing. So let me start from verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Some people will say that, who are you that you are just talking that people always refresh you? Are you Jesus? Are you this? Ah. That guy was carrying a grace. Onesiphorus recognized that grace. Lot could not recognize the grace Abraham was carrying. He misbehaved towards him. But Onesiphorus could recognize the grace that Paul was carrying. Say, this grace must not be allowed to suffer. He was always refreshing his soul. Hallelujah. I was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously. Another version says, he sought me out very diligently. He took time to seek out my stakes. He took time to seek out where I was living. Where are you staying? What situation are you going through? He was diligent to seek me out when he came to Rome. Now hear the prayer, verse 18. Say, the Lord grant him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Onesiphorus, and I'm praying for you, God will bring you in contact and connection with your Onesiphorus. Men who would hazard their lives just to be a benefit to you. Men who would diligently seek out your state. Who just want to be a help, a support. Not men that are willing to take advantage of you. Men who want to build you up. Who want to encourage you. Who want to strengthen your hands. Men who want to honor you. Are you here with me? And so look at what Paul said. He says, you know that all the people in Asia, including Hermogenes and Phygellus, and as we're looking at it during the video, Hermogenes and Phygellus must have been people who were strong pillars. They were people that Paul might have possibly been depending on. Oh, I don't know whether you've been there. Men whom you think that they will always be there for you, suddenly they dropped you. You know the way Ziba dropped Mephibosheth. And suddenly because he was dropped, he became lame in his feet. Oh, there are people that you have thought that they will be there for you. You have thought that they will be able to support you, encourage you on, spur you on, until you fulfill the assignment, the purpose, the intention, the will of God concerning your life, and concerning them too, because they are meant to be a beneficiary of it. But along the line, they do what? They dump you. Paul says, you know, all the people in Asia, of whom also was Hermogenes and Phygellus, it would have pained his heart. Say, they left me. But hear what he said. But thank God for a man like Onesiphorus. You don't need multitude. Everybody may leave you. With just one person, God can begin to rebuild your life again. The thing that you think you have lost, God can begin to bring them back. Just one house. He said the house of Onesiphorus, just one house remained faithful to him. Just one house remained connected with him, remained supportive of him. Refreshed his soul, refreshed his spirit. Took time to seek his state, his situation. And we pray so strongly. The atmosphere is already charged. You will walk into your Onesiphorus. No matter how many Hermogenes and Phygellus have left you, your Onesiphorus will connect with you. And Onesiphorus will refresh your soul. Will be to you what many can never be to you. In the name of Jesus. So this morning my emphasis is on the story of that Abraham and Lot. And I want to share with us on the message I've titled, Be Grateful for What Is Left. Be grateful for what is left. Because sometimes we begin to lament what we think we have lost, what we think has left our life, what we think we have missed out on, opportunities that we couldn't take advantage of that left us. We lament, we weep over the things that have gone, but we lose sight of what is still remaining. We lose sight of what is still left. We are just like that widow. The prophet got into his house. The prophet knew that there was still something in his house that can radically transform her life, change her story, change her destiny. But she never knew. She was still lamenting. Oh, my husband died and living debts. Eh? We are now everything. We have sold the car. We have sold this. We have been trying to pay debts. Nothing is still working. We are hungry. We are suffering. Look at our life. Complaining and murmuring. Whereas there was a little hope. It was little in her eyes. But that was the little that God needed to set her life on a new course. To set her life on a path of becoming a wealthy. That woman became so wealthy. Hallelujah. I believe she became an oil dealer. She became an oil dealer. From the little oil. Says the little oil. But when she recognized the little and was grateful for the little, God multiplied the little. Are you here with me? And I believe God is about to multiply something in your life. This last 3 months, October, November, December, will be so eventful for you. Oh, I say there will be multiplied grace, multiplied favor, multiplied increase, multiplied enlargement. They never see. Something just starts. Something just they build up. This is just the beginning. Tell your neighbor, this is just the beginning. This last 3 months, I speak as a prophet of God. Testimonies will be rolling over and over. Oh, testimonies rolling in more and more. Maniki patasa meka. There will be multitude of favors, multitude of goodness. Doors have been shut will suddenly be opened for you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. As we look into your mind this morning, speak expressly to us. Bless your name. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated in his wonderful presence. Let me quickly run. It's a very short time. We are coming back in the evening. I want us to leave here early. Oh, as women, I want us to understand that we are usually sentimental. We are usually emotional. And we are usually attached to the relationship or relationships that we have built over the years. And sometimes we really want our relationship to always remain, the status quo to remain. Oh, we are not usually given to change. The same people that we thought we have been in relationship with for years, we still want to keep in that same circle. But the truth is, at some point, certain people got to go. At some point, there would be a separation. It is a reality of life. Even when you don't want some separation, or death could even cause some separation. So separation is a reality of life. And even though it comes to us sometimes, and it's painful to us, but it's working the purposes and the intent of God. You don't struggle with it. You just understand the intent and the purpose of God for separation when it happens. When it happens. Whatever, God has not given you the grace to carry will always amount to a burden, a baggage, excess luggage. Anytime you try to carry it, you only carry what God has given you the grace to carry. Stop forcing any relationship on yourself. It will wear you out. It will weary you out. It will deplete your energy. It will waste your strength. And at the end of the day, it may leave you completely confused. You only carry what God has graced you to carry. You must be sensitive to recognize the purpose that every relationship that you find yourself is meant to serve. There is a purpose for every relationship. You've got to understand. You've got to ask him or her. Let's define this relationship. Let's know what it is all about. So every relationship has a purpose. We can't just be drifting up and down and we are calling ourselves friends. We are not even helping ourselves to become better in life and you are saying you are in a relationship. What kind of relationship is that? Can't be in a place that you are even afraid to share some things with your friend and you call that person your friend. What kind of friendship is that? A friend is meant to be with you in the midst of your adversity. And I see some people, they say, oremi, and yet they cannot open deep secrets to themselves. They are deceiving themselves. They don't understand the purpose of a relationship. Every relationship has a purpose. At the moment you don't understand the purpose of a relationship, you will abuse it. Are you here with me? When a relationship has fulfilled its purpose, then it is time to let go. Some relationships have expiry dates. Some relationships have a period when it's meant to be over. And the problem most times, I see it happening so much among, employers and employees. I see it happening among pastors, senior pastors and junior pastors. I see it happening in so many affairs of life. And I begin to wonder, kilo de now? The fact that you have been together for several years, when the purpose of that relationship has been fulfilled, send the person forth. Let him go and fulfill his ministry, fulfill his calling. Let him go to another office. You see people, you say you want to resign from the office and go and pick up a job somewhere else. That is when you become their enemy. In fact, they turn you as if you are worse than a criminal. Just because you are resigning. It's a fact of life. And I'm speaking to you, if you're an employer here. When people have fulfilled their time working in your organization, celebrate them. Let them go. Let them have a feeling that their time with you was fulfilled. Don't create enmity because people are walking out or separating or leaving you. It's a fact of life. We've got to face it and accept it. As a church, at some point, some people will have to go. As a pastor, I know it could be painful. It could be very painful. Imagine somebody that you have depended on. He is like a pillar in the church. When he gives his tithe, you praise God. When he transfers an offering like this, maybe God blessed him and he just wants to appreciate God and transfer something into the account. Sometimes you feel like calling him to say, oh, God, the Lord continue to increase you. The Lord continue to favor. And imagine when that is a time when you are still thinking of how to settle bills and the money just coming. Oh, and imagine that kind of person coming to tell you, Pastor, I'm moving on. Oh, it could be painful. It could be very painful. But the truth is, you've got to accept it. Especially when it is God that is leading that person to move on. You've got to face up the facts and release him. Pray for him. Wish him well. I've had people that, as it were, I called one of my sons a few days ago. In fact, he sent me a text in the middle of the night. We just finished praying and I just saw my phone. A text came in. He said, Pastor, praise God with me. I just gave birth to a baby boy. This is somebody who has sickle cell many years ago. By reason of the grace of God, the help that God provided through intervention, through support, through prayers, this young man would have possibly just cut it off and died. You know, some people just die because of depression. Because they just feel that this attack is too much. It was always from one crisis to another crisis. He showed me the drug. Pastor, I've been using this drug severally. This wound is not healing. I'm tired of living. I just want it to end. I said, no, you can't die now. You can't die now. And I began to appeal by the Holy Ghost to his conscience. See what God has done for you. Over the years, see, who would have imagined that you finished university? You finished, you graduated. You came out of the university, a graduate. Who would have imagined that a woman would even accept to marry you? You are married. You are married. Not only are you married, now you have a daughter. Now we come on, brace up. Brace up. Be encouraged. You will live. You will not die. And it took that courage. I believe, that is why I said to you, you need somebody in your corner who carries life. May not necessarily be a pastor. May be a fellow brother. May be a fellow sister. But it carries life. in your down moment, because we all have our low moments. There are times you are low and you need somebody who will speak a word to you to lift you up your spirit. One of the ladies that look up to me on Facebook was sharing her story some time ago. She said when she was like 7 years old, they went to a program, and someone that was like a prophet spoke to the parents and said, "Who is the mother of this girl? That witches have destroyed her womb, that she will not be able to give birth, that they should really pray for her if she's going to ever give birth in life." And you know, little children, words can actually register the things that stood in her mind. For years, she was carrying that thought that maybe she will not be able to give birth. Lo and behold, she got married. First month, second month, they were trying. No conception. The devil brought the picture back to her mind. You know, they have said it. Witches have eaten up your womb. You can't give birth. Fear, trepidation, depression. She was afraid. The next month again, as she was still trusting God that she was going to conceive, she saw her period. She called a friend. "So I'm tired. It's as if, well, why would God allow this to happen to me? At least I've given my life to Him. Why must God?" She was lamenting, complaining, crying. She wanted to even cut it off there. Do you know that some people have committed suicide because of such thoughts? Oh, you need a life giver in your corner. I don't need people who will depress my soul, depress my spirit. I need somebody who will speak and something will wake up inside of me. Something will make me know that I can conquer, I can overtake, I can pursue and recover everything that the enemy might have taken from me. I need somebody who is an encourager in my corner. Not somebody who talks you down, who sees no good in you, who makes you feel depressed the more. You don't need them. Cut them off. They serve no purpose. Are you here with me? So she called a friend of hers. Oh, say, "Thank God for sister something." She didn't mention her name. Say, the lady began to speak the words of life to her. Began to speak, just as Dr. Ada said that, you know, she began to give her medical kind of advices and things that has to do. Say, "How many times do you travel out of town? Maybe, okay, why don't you just stay in town for 1 month and prayerfully, you and your husband, just engage in the thing, and see whether it will not happen. And I will keep praying with you." Lo and behold, that same month she conceived. You need such people in your corner. The line between life and death is very thin. A person might commit suicide. I've had cases of just the fact that the father of that young man was always telling him, "What are you doing with your life? All your mates are working. You'll be sitting in the home and eating my food." And the guy wrote a suicide letter and said, "You can continue to eat all your food. I'm not eating your food again." And he committed suicide. You would have said that maybe that father was just saying that word to spur him on, Abby, to challenge him. But the way he received it made him to commit suicide. Parents, be mindful of how you talk. We are like the God that our children can see. I'm learning this too. I'm learning it. So we've not got to speak to their possibilities. Speak to wake the giant in them. Speak to let them know that no matter what they are going through, they will always overcome. The truth is, life will throw you very, very challenging situation. Teach them when life throws you a lemon, make a lemonade out of it. Don't let any situation depress you to the point that you are thinking of committing suicide. Are you here with me? Now, there are relationships that have fulfilled their existence. At that point in time, you've got to know how to release. Let them go. Let every relationship work according to the intention and the purpose of God. The way God wants it to work. Don't try to work it in your own way. Doing so will be so antithetical. It will be so unproductive. It will be countercyclical. It will not fulfill the very essence that it is meant to fulfill. Don't waste your energy. Let me share with us, there are four kinds of relationships that I've discovered. You need to really understand how to place your relationship in these four, categories. Number one, there are false relationships. I call them false relationships because they are not meant to be in the first place. It's a relationship that is built on deception. A relationship that is built on falsehood, on lies. When you cannot tell truth to yourself. There are false relationships. And the truth is, if you don't learn how to severe those relationships early enough, the consequences might be too much for you to handle. There have been false relationships that young girls enter into that led to their death. Somebody who is even envious of you, you think that she likes you. As you tell you, don't you know you are beautiful? You can you can be an aristo now. You can do this, you can do that. You are just wasting your beauty. I know how to take care of myself. Oh, false relationship. They will dangle the iPhone before you and tell you, you two can get one now. And before you know it, maybe the first time she will ever go out, she falls into the hand of a money ritual. And her life. False relationship. It's cut short like that. The second kind of relationship is the fleeting or fledging relationship. A fledging or fledging relationship is a relationship that God allows you to either be the one building somebody for a season. You know the way it is when the eaglet is in the nest of the eagle. The eaglet is not meant to be in that nest forever. At some point, the eagle will have to be released. It has to fledge. You have a time that you are meant to fulfill in that relationship. And the moment you have fulfilled that time, what happens? Everybody pathways. The eaglet also now can fly and takes off. Maybe once in a while it can be coming around to say, how are you doing, Mama Eagle? I'm doing well. Thank you for all that you have done. You taught me. You raised me up. I'm doing well now because you took time to teach me, to train me. Bye-bye. See you later. And flies off. That is a fledging relationship. You build it for over time. And at some point, it's like a scaffolding. You know what scaffolding does? A scaffolding is meant to hold the structure of a building. The moment you finish building, what happened? You take it off. The scaffolding is not part of the building. You take it off. There are relationships like that. And that is what we see also in the case of an apprentice and a master. You define the period. 4 years, I'm going to train you. After 4 years, I release you. Go and do your own. It's a fledging relationship. Within that 4 years, pour that you need to pour in him. After 4 years, he goes. Am I communicating? The third one I call frustrated relationship. A frustrated relationship is a relationship that God wants to be. Heaven signed it. Heaven approves of it. God wants it to work. But because of the hardness of the heart of men, they frustrate it. Because this person will think that I am better than you. You are better than me. The way you talk to me, you can't talk to me like that. I'm supposed to have this. Before you know it, one fee, a binu, a bonokon, immaturity. They use it to what? To frustrate it. A case in point was the relationship between Paul and Barnabas. God spoke by the Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 13. He says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. But what happened? Immediately, there was a contention between them. Paul said, I want to take... Paul says, no, we are not going to go with John Mark. Barnabas said, no, we are going with him. John Mark was not there when God called the two of you now. He was not there. He said, separate me, Paul, Barnabas. He didn't say, plus including Mark. He didn't say so. Just like when God called Abraham, he called Abraham alone. He didn't say, take Lot with you. But what happened? Barnabas said, no, John Mark has been like my family. I can't see myself detaching myself from him. We are so emotionally connected. We are so attached to ourselves. Better deal with your attachment before it deals with you. Any attachment that is not pushing you forward in the plan and purpose of God, better cut it off. If you are a man that is going somewhere in destiny, you don't allow emotions to override your judgment. Allow emotions to override your sense of judgment. That was what happened to Barnabas. So I must go with him. And because Paul said, okay, I have prayed. I've consulted the author. The one who spoke to me that we should work together, is he saying that, no, for now, John Mark should be out of the picture. Barnabas said, okay, go on your own. If you want to go, go. Left him. But I shared some time ago, I said, afterwards, in the whole of Acts, the book of Acts, we did not hear of Barnabas. For if they had been together, you would keep hearing of him because he would be everywhere. Later on, Silas took his place. You see, men can only try to... I tell people there is nobody that is indispensable. I can preach it boldly because I know the one who speaks to me. I'm so confident in him. There's nobody, even if you are a billionaire, that this work, you have been the one supporting it all these years. We are grateful. But the truth is, never allow it to enter into your head as if we are not there, this church will not survive. It's a fearful thing. Never for once let it come into your heart. No matter how useful, how very dependable you have been, always acknowledge the fact that it is by grace that you've been able to do all that you have been able to do. Bible says, what do you have that you have not received? You received everything by grace. So the one who gave it to you must always be glorified and always be acknowledged for the gift and the grace that he has deposited in you. Am I communicating? There's nobody that is indispensable. Yoruba will put it this way. Iru Olorun ni ko si. It is only a type of God that we don't have. There are types of men. The moment you refuse to allow a relationship that God has his hand on, that God is saying, for this purpose I have anointed you. For this purpose I am blessing you. For this purpose I am promoting you. For this purpose I am increasing you. And I'm sending you to support this vision. And you now begin to think that, hey, but they don't acknowledge me very well in the church now. And they don't see me as if I am the pillar. You know, we are the timber and the caliber that carry the church. Some of you want us to even give you a chieftaincy title in church. But this is the house of God. You do it as unto God. Am I making sense at all? Praise the Lord. Whatever God is using you to do in his house or do towards his name, be grateful to God. A friend of mine the other time wired some amount to me and I was full of gratitude to him. And he said something. He said, I must really be grateful to God that I'm in a position to bless you. It humbled me. It humbled me. He said, I must even be the one to be so grateful to God that I am in that position to be a blessing to you. It really humbled me. That's the man that knows the essence of positioning in life. Some of us, we don't know that when God positions you, he positions you for his purpose. Don't let that position enter into your head and make you to start misbehaving. So I call that frustrated relationship. And the final relationship is fulfilled or fulfilling relationship. Fulfilled relationship. That is a relationship that God wants you and I to be in. It's a lifetime relationship. It's a relationship that keeps supplying your need, that keeps refreshing your soul, that keeps upholding you, strengthening you. It's a relationship that you are meant to be for life, that will lead to your fulfillment in life. You don't disconnect yourself from such relationship. It's the relationship that exists between a man and a wife. It's a lifer. Such that no matter what, you are always there for him. You are always there for her. Even when his money is behaving funny, you are there to support him. You know that there are some wives, they appreciate their husband because the money is still flowing. Say, ouch. For God forbid that the money is no longer there. That is when their true color will come out. And yeah, see, you can talk about it. And the guy is trying. Fulfilling relationship works through knowledge. Tell your neighbor, it works through knowledge. It works through knowledge. Every one of us can be in a fulfilling relationship, but we've got to devote time, energy, and effort to knowing what it takes to have a fulfilling relationship. There are certain words we don't say. There are certain things we don't do. There are certain times you just need to be there. You just need to be there. You may not even talk. Just there. Let the person know that you are here with me. Paul had a fulfilling relationship. Even when the other relationship was frustrated, the people in Asia, all of them turned away from him. Nobody cared about him. Hermogenes and Phygellus, they turned their back. Oh, but there was a guy that was ready to fulfill relationship with him. He took his time. When he got to Rome, he said, I must see Paul. I've got to see Paul. There's something in Paul that connects with something in me. Just like when the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, got to the house of... when Mary got to the house of Elizabeth, something leaped inside of her. That is a fulfilling relationship. People, when you stand in their presence, we brought somebody like that yesterday to speak to our men of courage, and I got feedback. People were beginning to say, thank God for that meeting. When somebody will stand before you and as he's speaking, a giant is rising inside of you. The king in you is waking up. That is a fulfilling relationship. And that is what this church, a church is meant to be. A church is meant to be a place where we facilitate fulfillment. Where you can find fulfillment as a single. Find fulfillment as married. Find fulfillment as a man, as a woman. Find fulfillment in your business, in your career, in your spiritual work. That is what a church is meant to be for. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Now let me begin to round off my message. When Hermogenes and Phygellus walked out and all the people in Asia turned away from Paul, when Lot turned his back from Abraham, thank God for what was left. Stop mourning, stop crying, stop lamenting what is not working or what God has allowed to be terminated, what is over, what has been marred, what has been ruined, what has been destroyed. Just like, you know, a potter is trying to make and the clay got marred. Stop troubling your heart, stop letting it worry you. Men might have walked away from you. Thank God for those that are still remaining. Even if it's just one person. Yoruba will say, something like that. No matter how worse or bad the situation is, God will not leave you destitute. There will still be one person. One person that might still believe in you. Sometimes we don't acknowledge that one person. We will be crying over the night, weeping. Money. Ah, this person, I remember when we were in year one in the university. Oh, how we had so nice time. We were like four of us in the room. Oh, how will she walk out of my life like this? And you start crying. Sometimes we don't like to face the reality. We like to be living in denial. Joshua was living in denial when God had taken Moses. Moses was gone forever. God had to come and meet him. Joshua, wake up. Moses, my servant, is dead. Oh, near remote law. Face the front. Tell your neighbor, face front. There are greater purposes ahead of you. Stop lamenting Moses. Moses is gone. He's in the past. There are some relationships that are in your past. Just begin to acknowledge the present, what God has still retained in your life. Thank God for one person. That one person. I'm grateful to God for every one of you that are in this service. Some of you have been coming every now and then. Some of you started coming in January. Some of you started coming in February, March. And you've seen this house as your house. You keep coming. Oh, my heart is extremely grateful that you've made this place your house. You are like the house of Onesiphorus. Because I tell you the truth, at some point I felt I did not know how to do anything again. I felt like the worst kind of human being. I felt I wasn't a good pastor. At some point, I felt, can people still come to worship God and I can pray and preach and have people that followed my ministry? because it's as if the whole house was against me. I was worse than the devil. The way I was presented, or the way I was made to look like. And I look at my life. Who have I offended? What have I done? What have I done? I've not stolen anybody's money. I've not slept with anybody's wife. I've not deprived anybody. I've tried to be a good pastor. I've encouraged. I've inspired. What have I done? I look within. I search. I ask myself questions. But do you know, in the midst of all that, there were still people that stayed. Please let me appreciate such people. Please. I went through a troubled time. I had to take some time out and just say, let me just go somewhere. Let me sort my life out. What would be wrong? What is going on? You say a little thing, they misinterpret it. You do this, it's as if me one more shame more. As if I don't know how to do it again. My message is, somebody will say my message is electric. Are you listening to me? But are you being blessed by this message? Are you connecting with the spirit of life? Yes, you are the real people. Clap for yourself. You are the real people. You are my G. You are my palace. Let's do this together. Let's build God a kingdom of sincere and truthful people. Not fake people that are insincere, that are not straightforward. Those are the people I want. You can't flow with me if you are not sincere. I want a truthful people. Maybe that is one of the things that have caused me problem. Because I want to bring you to a point whereby I want to be, let's shine light to one another. Let's be sincere to one another. But some people I've discovered, some people don't like that. They don't like sincerity at all. They want you to be a cunning pastor. Are you here with me? I don't know why I'm preaching like this. So. I hope I'm still on course. Please, I hope I've not offended anybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just thank God for real people. I'm a real pastor. And now we are beginning to raise real men. How many of you were at the Men of Courage meeting yesterday? Men of Courage! Yes, sir. Oh, we are destined to thrive. Come on, put your hands together for our Men of Courage. The eagle is gathering. We will shake it by the for Jesus. Sincere men, faithful men. We are taking this city for Jesus. Because, you see, when our men wake up, when our men wake up, our women will be in their place. They will be well positioned. The reason why there is so much problem in the family, in the home, that our women are so confused because our men are sleeping. But when our men wake up and they take their place, the women will begin to find great fulfillment. That is the truth. The reverse order will take the right order. There's some home is the man that will be waking up. They are let us pray now. Hey, you are sleeping. We have, say, don't do that, I'm tired. He's sleeping. You can't lead the family in prayer. So our men are beginning to rise up. And we started yesterday. We are building up from there. Very soon, Ibadan will hear from us. This house will be built so significant. When the men are really strong, the church will be strong. The family will be strong. Because the men, they are the priests. They are the leader. They are the head of the home. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So when people have turned away, let me begin to round off my message. When people have turned away from you, learn to be grateful for those who are left. The first set of people you need to be grateful for, like in the case of Abraham, be grateful for family. Oh, be grateful for family. I thank God for my wife. Please let me appreciate her, please. 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 I'm not saying this because she's here. I'm not saying it because she's here. She's indeed a pillar behind my life. She's indeed. When you wake up and sometimes pastors do cry. When you have a woman by your side that can stand with you and encourage you and just make sure that, you know, no matter what people have done to you, I'm still here for you now. Just let's forget it. Don't worry, it will be fine. Things will be okay. It may be confusing now. Darkness may be everywhere. Light is going to shine again. Thank God for family. Oh, thank God for my children too. Sometimes they will ask me, what is happening? Why didn't you see these people again? Why didn't you see? And we don't even know what to explain to them. Little children, we don't want to have a wrong impression on their hearts. I said, we believe that some of them are coming back, and these people will still come back. But the truth is, some of them, the way they went, they're not sure they will come back. And the fact may be that God has wanted it that way. Let it be. Am I communicating? Thank God for what is remaining. Thank God for family. Thank God for your faith. Thank God that you still have a fellowship with Jesus. Oh, if everything had left Abraham, Abraham could still walk back to Bethel. He could still go back to the place of his altar. Men may leave you, but if God has not left you, you are okay. Tell your neighbor, you are okay. Oh. You are very okay. The only person you cannot afford to leave you or walk out of your life is the presence of God. The presence of men may leave you. The presence of whatever they have been using to support you may leave. The presence of their support system, everything they've been doing may go. Their herdsmen may go. Everybody may go. But as long as God is still with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Englishman will say, one with God is more than a majority. So long about what? Whatever you think you have lost, it will come back. And when it is coming back pressed down, shaking together, running over. Much more than what you felt. Can I testify before us? Do you know before all the crisis happened, church was not as full as this? And it's just the beginning. Amen. This is just the beginning. Amen. That place is going to be full by the time we finish building. The whole place is going to be full. People who want to hear the truth. God told me there are still people that are thirsty and hungry for the truth. Keep preaching it. They will come. And God brought you. He brought the family from Ibadan, Abuja. He brought him. I can testify. Josh desires the truth. He longs for the truth. He shares some things I can connect with. It wasn't you that came. It was God that brought you. So he didn't even know when he just put Ibadan. Because God knew that somebody must come to strengthen this work. He brought him to Ibadan. God brought you here, ma. And several family. God brought you. God brought everyone here. Because he knows you are a lover of the truth. Come on, put those hands together for yourself. You love to hear what is right. That is why you came. You know that was a time I will start preaching. Somebody will be walking out of the message, my message, and I called. What is the problem? He said, I'm always preaching about salvation. I said, what? Well, I'm always preaching about salvation. Then what did you come to church to look for if not salvation? You want me to be preaching prosperity or motivational speaking? You are going to buy a house tomorrow. Money will enter into your account tomorrow. And just come and give $1,000 offering. And you become stupendous English. I can't do that. Now I will be betraying my conscience. I can't do it now. Let's preach this truth. This truth can make you more than wealthy. I love that place, Pastor Tony. He said, God brought us into our what? Our wealthy place. God can still bring you into your wealthy place. But it's not going to be because I manipulate you and I conjure and I do a manner of things. No, he will do it because you seek his kingdom. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you, including riches and wealth. It's not exclusive of it. Thank God for you, sir. This is a man too that appreciates. He just came not too long ago. When he speaks, I connect. When I speak, he connects. Yes, this is the spirit. This is a fulfilling relationship. It's a fulfilling relationship. Am I communicating? Be grateful for what is left. And I tell, just as I spoke to my wife those days, and she looked at me and said, why will you be talking as if you are God? I said, I'm not God, but that is the truth. I said, if you are for me, you are not going anywhere. Then we had not sealed our relationship. I was still proposing, you know, I was still trying to toast, I was still trying to woo her. We do have done it before. You think like only you young guys know how to woo sisters? I wooed her. Not be saying they can't give her to me, say just marry her. I wooed her. I toasted her. Okay. People don't know something. You don't know something, honestly. You don't know. Don't worry, because of time. Fish appointment. I will tell you the gist. I will give. Hello, why do you like gist like this? Praise the Lord. And I told her, if you are not for me, you cannot stay. Oh, I was so confident. See, I was using the word of my mouth and the word of his revelation to protect my future, because I cannot marry a witch. I cannot marry a witch. So I was, then I had not known her that the way I know her now. I was just seeing her from far. I wasn't sure who she was. But something was telling me she's my wife. So I was saying, okay, she's my wife. By the time I used my words to say some powerful things, if she is the one, she will stay. Hard words. Just like Jesus began to say hard words to his disciples. Those who were not his disciples, what happened? One law. But when those that were his disciples, what happened? One said that, unto whom shall we go? You have the word of life. We can't go anywhere. Oh, pastor, struggle totally doing a law. I'm a do on you. Because we are destined for a fulfilled relationship together. We are not going anywhere. Are you listening to me? I said, if you are not for me, you will not stay. And because she is for me, she has stayed. She not only stayed, she has given birth to 3-4 powerful children. 3 girls, 1 boy. God is so good. God is so good. Those of you that are saying more, I give you the grace. Receive the anointing. Eh? Abby now, receive it on my behalf. I will help you to dedicate it, the baby. Praise the Lord. Eh? By the time you think of school fees, more call. Praise the Lord. Amen. So thank God for family. Thank God for your fellowship, your faith. Thank God for faithful friends. Oh, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend that is born for adversity. You can blame the friends of Job that they were speaking all manner of words, and they were speaking because they did not know better. They were quite sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. But those guys really loved Job. How many of you can stay like those guys with your friend in his adversity? They all did not know what happened. Only God knew what was happening at the back of time. Imagine a man that is so wealthy, serving God. Why will evil happen to a man that is serving God? Why? Can't that God stop the evil? So they began to all manner of conjectures, all manner of suggestions, but they were all wrong. But one thing you can't take away from the friend of Job, they were faithful friends. They were consistent. They were there. Some of you, the moment you lose your job like this, all those guys that you normally declare for, you call them on phone like this, you just hear number busy. By the time you try again, number switched off. There are no more there for you. Yoruba will say, "Owo epo ni aye man ba yon la." But the friend of Job, they stood there, even in his, when he was having sore all over him, they still stayed with him. Thank God for faithful friends. Oh. Some of you, you have faithful friends. You will not be grateful to the faithful friends you have. He's the one that you want to fall into, you want to enter into their clique. And the big girls, I want to become as the big girls. I want to be among the big guys. Those are the ones you are pursuing. And yet, they are raising the standard. They don't even see you as one of them. You are still going after them. One more one now. They know themselves. They don't want you in their clique. But you are going after them. The one that is there for you, you won't appreciate. The ones that don't want you, those are the ones you will be going after. You still want to go and buy a car that will be driving you instead of you driving it. Just because you want to impress them. You want them to know that, I'm a big boy now. Me too, I've arrived. I'm supposed to be in your clique. You don't need that. Be grateful for the faithful friends. Friends that are with you in your down moments. You see, the time you can know your friends are the time when you are in need. A friend in need is a friend indeed. When you can share your burden with, say, I shared a burden with one of my friends. He's a childhood friend. Oh, he was so moved. And he supported me. Are you here with me? He's a childhood friend. We grew up together. In fact, when he came to Nigeria some time ago and we were together talking, he shared the testimony again. How God through me made him to become a Christian. He was born into a Muslim family. And since then, our bond of friendship has been so strong. When I thought of it, who can I share this burden with? I shared it with him. A friend in need. Is a friend indeed. Are you here with me? Thank God for faithful friends. Thank God for faithful friends. Friends that I've chosen to be with you even when everything seemed to be against you. Friends like Onesiphorus, that will take time to seek after your welfare. They will be diligent to know where you are. Oh, friends, they are very scarce. So when God gives you one, be grateful. Faithful friend. A friend that will look straight into your eyes and tell you, what you did is wrong. You need to go and apologize. That's a friend. You'll be lying to yourself. Because if you delight, the lies makes you to feel good. I lied to him. He bought it. If you lie to me, I bought it. And you are just buying, you are selling lies to yourself. I don't want to hurt him. If I tell him the truth, he may not talk to me again. Then he's not your friend. Cut off. See your young lady, she's buying this and buying that. And you ask her, she say, don't worry. And you know she's not working. At some point, she'll be able to call her and say, I hope you are not selling your body. Because all these things I'm seeing around you, and you're always leaving the room by 12 in the night, and you are coming in the morning. The next thing we see is that we see a phone with you. Your body is meant to be kept. A man is coming. Don't sell your... If that is your friend, she would appreciate you that you told her the truth. Faithful friends. I want faithful friends in the ministry. I want faithful friends in the church. People will not... The haters of truth. Paul says that, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? So that means it's possible for you to become an enemy of some people because you told them the truth. Am I communicating? Thank God for your future. Today may be bleak. It may seem everything is not working now. Oh, there's a great future ahead of you. Thank God that even though now everything seems not to be working, by the scent of water, it will blossom again. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Thank God for future. I want to prophesy to somebody. Though right now you don't know how you are going to come out of that situation, but by the Spirit of the Lord, you will come out.
Amen.
You will come out.
Amen.
God will be your help. He will take your hand. He will lead you out of it.
Amen.
Very soon, not too long into the future, you will come to testify.
Amen.
The Lord saw me in my confusion, saw me in my darkness. He saw me in all my problems. He saw me in all my afflictions. I was deeply afflicted. But suddenly the Lord came through for me. Now I can testify. What I thought was going to bury me, that I won't be able to see the future. Now I'm in the future and I'm testifying. That will be your story.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So we are here as friends to come and thank God for what is remaining. I want to thank God for our faith. That you are still here hearing the word of God. You want to say, blessed are your ears for hearing these things. Do you know that there are people that because of what they are going through, they just walk away from church, they go to club, and before you know it, they are not even listening to any preacher again. They don't say, that thing is just, they are just deceiving themselves, there is nothing there. They walk out of the faith because of intensity of the problem they went through. But you are still here. You are still in the faith. Thank God for family. You can still see a woman stand by you. And some of you, even though you are not yet married, you are single, but there is still a mother that cares for you, praying for you. Sometimes we forget that. Say, I'm 35 and I see nothing, seem to be working. There is a mother, one of the ladies, sisters that got married in church here, by the prophetic utterance of God, God opened door for her and she got married. She was sharing the story with me. He said, at the time, do you know that my parents were really worried for us? They started going to this place, praying and seek God's help and intervention. So I said, be grateful for such parents. Parents that will take your matter to genuine men of God to say, please agree with me. Not looking for all these false prophets. So because some parents too, they do that. They will start going after false prophets. You say, yeah, what is wrong with my daughter? She must get married too. They say, yeah, go and bring her name. Go and bring her picture. Put salt in this. All those ones, we don't need it. But genuine ones that can say, okay, please agree with me. Let God open door for my daughter too. And today, in that family, all of the girls, they are all married. They are doing very well. Thank God for family. When people walk away from you, your family will not leave. Thank God for the testimony of Pastor Paul. When everybody gave up on him and said he was a no good person, nothing good can come out of him. There was a mother that was kept saying, no, my Adeolu is going to be great. He's going to come out of this debauchery. He's going to come out as a saint. He's going to come, and they kept praying. Am I communicating? Thank God for parents. Thank God for family. Thank God for faithful friends. Thank God that you still have a future. Today is not your end, though. Your situation is not your story. Your revelation is your real story. Imagine Joseph concluding that he was going to die in the prison. When he has seen a revelation that he was going to become prime minister, he saw a future. And I prophesy upon you, no matter how confusing your situation is now, may the picture of the glorious destiny and the future that God has ahead of you, may that picture begin to resonate with your mind. May it be established in your soul. May you begin to see it. May God give you understanding, illumination of that which He has prepared for you. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has He entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. May you begin to see of the mysteries, of the glorious things that God has prepared for you, no matter how confusing the present is, in the name of Jesus. Release yourself, let's rejoice, and let's be glad. Today is a day of thanksgiving, a day to be grateful for all that God has retained and maintained for us, regardless of what has left us, regardless of what has walked away from us. We want to look around us, we want to see into our situation, and thank God for what is remaining. God bless you.
Thank you for your audience. We believe you have been blessed by today's message. If the Lord will be leading you, we invite you to join us for any of our services holding every Sunday between 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and Tuesdays between 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. You can send us an email, info@hotrharvesthouse.org. Remember, we truly care and love you with the love of Jesus Christ. This has been an outreach service broadcast sponsored by the House on the Rock, Harvest House, Ibadan.